Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and you're listening to the Lakeside Church Weekly Message Podcast. This is where we broadcast our Sunday morning teaching, so if you missed it or want to hear it again, you're in the right place. Every week, we try to teach God's Word in a way that is real so that it becomes alive to you as you hear it. If this message speaks to you in any way, let us know by clicking on our website's contact page at lakesidelife.org, where you can find out more about the church, watch some videos, and even give online. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the podcast.
Well, good morning again. Excited to talk about God's Word. How many brought their Bibles this morning or their Bible app? I see that phone. Okay. Well, we're going to be looking at the book of John. I'm going to take you to 1 John first this morning. But let me talk a bit about 50 Days of Passion. We want to prepare ourselves on the church calendar. The season of Lent for Christians for centuries now has been a time of preparation for us to truly celebrate what I will call the resurrection season, not like the Easter season. Not that we can't redeem Easter, okay? But I'll just call it that, the resurrection season. And what Christ did for us on the cross, and what he did for each one of us who believe in him, and how he rose again and conquered death for all time. And during this time, what we just want to do is focus in on God and his word for a bit. And so what we have started is a bit of a reading plan. We just started this last week. It was kind of like a cold turkey thing where we just stopped not doing it and started doing it. And so here we were doing this. And here's what I was going to say is this morning I saw our buddy Josh Kendall is doing his 50 days. What we do is we have a reading plan, one chapter in Genesis every day. There's a devotional to go along with it. A lot of the stuff we sang about today went along with today's devotional. You can read that on our blog. Josh, though, is on day 4. And I don't call him a slacker for that. Oh, that's you. Oh, you have the same Facebook account. Well, thank you, Jenny, for posting something, though. Because for some people, I mean, this is not a legalism thing. If you're just coming into it, you weren't here last week, start this week. I didn't date them so much. The blogs are titled Genesis 1, Day 1, or 50 Days, Day 1. And they go on through that. And you can spend the next 50 days just intensely pursuing God and who he is. And I was just thinking as we were singing that song, when the oceans rise and thunders roar and all of those things, you are king over the flood. And I was thinking of Noah, because that was what the last couple days in our readings were. And I wanted to mention something I didn't mention last week. During this 50 days, make time, if you can, to go see the Son of God movie. It's out in theaters now. And you can even take time to discuss that in your life groups. But we're studying the life of Jesus right now. And this is about him. And you'll recognize some of the scenes in the movie from stuff we've been talking about in the book of John. The second thing is, at the end of this month, there is a new movie out called Gladiator 2. It's actually called Noah, okay, but he's got the shaved head again and everything, Russell Crowe. So anyway, and he seems like a pretty tough dude. I think this is going to be a good movie, and the biblical story of Noah is an amazing account, and it's about God's mercy, and it's not about just his judgment. And I want to encourage you to, see the movie. I think that there's going to be, I don't expect anything inappropriate except for violence. And so I wouldn't necessarily take kids to that movie, but I would recommend seeing it. And because we're doing this devotions in Genesis, and after you see it, I'm working right now on that weekend that it opens up. On the 29th of March, something that I talked to a dear brother of mine about almost a year ago now, we're going to do a little Saturday 2-hour session, and it's going to be called, Do I Have to Choose Between the Bible and Science? And Dr. Mickey Porter is going to be with us. He's an awesome guy. He speaks in love. But he actually, has a degree in physics. And he can explain the different theological viewpoints. There's about 4 main categories that theologians fall into when they study the idea of creation, how it relates to the science that is around us and things like this. And he's going to explain all of those. I pressed him when I got to talk to him again recently. You got to tell me right now, where do you lean? And he told me where he leaned. I thought it made a lot of sense. But I think what you're going to find encouraging is you don't have to choose between those two. This book is not contradictory to science. Even in Genesis, I'm not dismissing anything that Genesis says. I'm simply saying that this book is about theology. It's not about science. Okay, this is about the study of God. Science is the study of the physical universe. Okay, this is the study of God, who is not physical. He is spirit and is not contained by the physical universe. Okay, and those two universes, the spiritual universe, if you will, and the physical universe coexist together. And if you only know what you know about science, you're going to be left with a lot of questions. One of the biggest questions that this answers that science doesn't is, what began? Okay, we simply know that at some point, everything came out of nothing. That's what science teaches us. Okay, and so this offers an explanation as to what that was. As I've said before, at the beginning of all that begatting, something begun. What was that something? That's what this book is about. Okay, and so we're going to talk about that. And I told him, do an hour presentation and then save at least an hour at the end for questions. Okay, so I want you to come to that. It will most likely be the 29th is most likely what it's going to be. It might be pushed the weekend after that. I just didn't check my email to check if that worked for him. So hope you're looking forward to that. Let's get into our talk today. And what time do we have? I don't have my phone up here. 11:30. Okay. Can I use that for a second? I'm just going to keep track of time because I really worked hard this week at making sure that I had 25 minutes of teaching. Okay, I've got 25 minutes of teaching. And at the end, we're not going to do a song. I'm going to pray. And during this time, if you want to use that thing on the back of your guide to text any questions in, and if need be, I'll even do the hands thing. We'll answer a couple questions because I was told before the service that there were some questions about our readings this week, okay? I'm going to punt on a couple of them, but I want them to be brought up because I think it's great when people engage with God's scriptures, and I want the questions to be answered, asked, so that everyone can get in on some of this, okay? And so whether it's going to be something we're talking about here today or about the readings we've been talking about, let's have some questions at the end, okay? All right. 24 minutes and a half left. Okay. 1 John is where I'm going to start. Why am I going to start there? Well, I'll tell you what. This guy wrote the book of John. Okay? So it's an interesting cross-reference passage. But today I want to talk to you about how to grow a deeper faith. How many would like their faith to be deeper this morning or stronger this morning? You want to have a stronger faith? I mean, how many look up to those people, right? Do you look up to those people that just seem to, I mean, the world could be crashing down on them. They've just got that peace that surpasses my understanding, at least, if not all. And I don't understand how they can keep so calm and serene about it. And yet they've got this peace. And that kind of faith is something I'm after. And I want to talk to you about the difference between shallow faith and faith. We're going to be getting into this. We're going to go through all 41 verses in this, but we're going to do it as we go instead of reading all up front. In 1 John chapter 2, I want to just read something here. It says, "And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments." If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know that we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Let me tell you why I brought this up. This is really interesting. If someone claims, "I know God," that person's a liar. He's not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. How many struggle with obeying God's word? Now, does this really ruin your day? You know, I mean, it's like somebody peed in your cornflakes. Okay. Right. I mean, this kind of ruins my day because, you know, am I a liar? or whatever. I mean, that's what's so interesting about this. And first of all, here's what I want to do first before I get into this. I want to read to you. It's not in your guide or anything. The couple verses before that. Okay, John says this: "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin." Okay? He's talking to believers. Okay? He calls them his children and writes so they will not sin. "But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father." Then he gets into the passage I just read to you. Here's what John is saying. The point of this letter is not to tell you whether or not you're a Christian or not. I'm writing this so that you can live a life not sinning. There's a reason for that, by the way. Jesus calls it an abundant life, and so I believe it is the true way to happiness. But what John says is, if any of you do sin, let me be very clear that no matter what, on the day of your judgment, your lawyer is going to come to your defense and argue your case. And guess what? Spoiler, you're going to win. He's gotten in with the judge and he's going to take care of things. Okay. This is not about your salvation. Okay. This is about knowing God intimately. And that's where deep faith comes from. See, many of us, we believe, I would say, I could look around the room and I'd say most everybody in this room probably believes without a shadow of doubt, Jesus is the Son of God. That kind of belief gives us power to be called the Son, the sons and the daughters of God. That belief that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for our sin and rose again to defeat death on our behalf, that is what saves us, okay? That does not mean that we know God intimately. How many have experienced this? Like you would say, I'm a believer, but sometimes I feel like God and I mean, we're good friends, but we're not like, you know, I mean, we're not totally like bosom friends, you know what I'm saying? Or kindred spirits, as Anne would say in Anne of Green Gables. That was not culturally, contemporarily cultural or something. But you get what I'm saying, right? I mean, my goodness, sometimes it just feels like, man, I look at people and they've got, it's like them and God are best buds, you know what I'm saying? And that's what deep faith really comes from, is from you having a personal and intimate relationship with God yourself, not with your church, and not through me, your pastor, or through your life group leader or whoever it is. But you personally, apart from myself, apart from you showing up here, you've got a personal relationship with God. And that's where deep faith comes from. So let's get into the scriptures that we're talking about today. Let's go to the next slide here, Dave. So here's the story. As he went along, this is Jesus, right? He saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Okay. The first fill in the blank here is this, that shallow faith is all talk, no action, right? Deep faith takes action. You ever notice Christians like this? I mean, you come across, maybe you bring up in life group a particular need that's happened in someone's life. So what do? We talk about the need, right? We talk about it, how awful it is. And basically through maybe more subtle language say, "I just wish there was a way we could help." And we pray for the person, right? I mean, that's what we do. And shallow faith, if you want to have a litmus test with these 6 points for you, okay, see how you score. If you score higher than 3, maybe you have a stronger faith. Maybe let's go with that, okay? We're six question test going on here this morning. Shallow faith is mostly talk, whereas deep faith really takes action. I remember Britton talking about this in the book of James. that it was something to the effect that if you hear about a brother and he has a need and you say, go and be well, you basically say a prayer for him and maybe give him some encouraging words, but send him on his way without taking care of his need, that's worth nothing. We need to be action people. And we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus sees a guy born blind. His disciples say, you know, there's got to be something going on here. Don't get hung up on the fact they said, who sinned? Think about it this way. It's like maybe the disciples are saying, what is God trying to teach this guy? That's more of a line we use, isn't it? God must be testing you. And so just stay true with him. Jesus doesn't give him that message. He heals him. Okay. And so that's what he could do. We can't really do that like the way Jesus can. But there is stuff we can do. So we need to do it. Okay, shallow faith just talks, and deep faith takes action. Now, let's go on to the next section. Okay, his neighbors, this is what happens next. And those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? And some claimed that he was, and others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself says, no, I'm the man. How then were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. I want you to focus in on 13, though. Where's they quickly lost interest. Where's the man, Jesus? And he says, I don't know. So they bring him to who? The Pharisees. This is their safety net. These are their pastors, their religious leaders, right? You know what I'm saying? Bring them to the Pharisees, find out what's going on. Now, the day on which Jesus made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied. And I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, well, this man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And the man replied, he is a prophet. Again, you ever meet somebody? They've got one of them stories of faith. One of those stories of faith. Sorry, honey. I'm trying to keep my grammar clean. Okay, so one of those stories of faith that just is unbelievable. It's so clear that God just opened up the heavens and moved in their life. And you get thinking, man, I wish I had a story like that, you know. But it encourages, doesn't it? And so that becomes maybe the rock on which your faith is built on. Let me tell you, shallow faith can come secondhand, but deep faith is always personal. Okay, it doesn't come secondhand. Because you know why? Because we're skeptics at heart. And I've heard it. You know, I've tried to explain the different stories of what had happened. And I've literally had people in this church say to me, well, that would have happened anyway, wouldn't it? You don't get it, do you? I mean, this happened in my life. You know, it's so you can't talk me off the ledge because I know what God did. You had to be in the moment when that happened. And if your faith is based on Matt's conviction or George's or Britton's, your life group leader, somebody else's, your husband's, your wife's. If your faith is built on that pillar, that's one of those houses that's built on sand, okay? Because I'll stumble sometimes. Your faith needs to be based on personal, something personal that's happened in your life between you and God. It cannot be secondhand. I skipped over the second one, didn't I? Okay. This is good because now the next section of Scripture I won't have to read. Okay, so shallow faith focuses on, this is what I should have said first, the rules, right? Did anybody see that about the Sabbath thing? And deep faith focuses on results. Sorry, Dave, I'm driving you crazy back there. Okay, so the first questions we ask, you know, if we're really religious people is, we hear a story like this and did it happen the right way? I tell you, I've actually told a story about when I questioned something that happened in a young man's life, okay? I was in Bible school. I'm going to rebuke myself right here. You ready for this? Okay? I'm in Bible school, and this guy, we're giving our testimonies, first-year freshman students, and we're giving our testimonies, and somebody asked this guy, his name's Jeff Chazon. I'm still friends with him on Facebook, if that means anything. And so they said to him, who led you to Christ? And he says, no one. And they said, what do you mean? Well, I was at home and I was getting drunk and I picked up a Bible and I started reading. And as I read, I became convicted by the Spirit and I gave my heart to Christ. And I said, I call foul, sir. And I've actually said in this church, that's impossible. You know why? Because how can they hear without a teacher? There has to be somebody sent. And this is why Philip came to the Ethiopian eunuch and he finds him on the road and he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I? Unless someone shows me. And I believe in this doctrine called illumination. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. So there's no way that you as an unregenerate person could have read the Bible and gleaned from that salvation. I don't think you're saved. Okay? I mean, how silly is that? Right? I mean, the guy's in Bible school now. You know, he's given his life. He had a tattoo of the Playboy bunny here, and he's got all this other junk on his other arm, and he's covering it up with tape just to go to class because it's not allowed, and he wants to become a preacher. And I'm saying he didn't get saved the right way, okay? That's me being these guys, okay? That's what happened. It focuses on rules, okay? Deep faith focuses on results. Okay, so the first question you ask, if you're asking, did it happen the right way? Of course, the other one is, you know, if I'm interviewing you, you want to change membership in the church. And I say, okay, and when were you baptized? Number one, okay, it has to be after what I must consider the age of accountability so you can understand what was going on. Otherwise, didn't count. And then this next one is, okay, you were baptized. It was after, let's say, 5 years old. Great. Full immersion, right? Okay. I mean, we got to make sure it happened the right way, right? But deep faith focuses on results. Deep faith looks at the heart. Not the way Jesus can, but we understand that we don't get hung up on the rules and the garbage. Okay? That's enough of rebuking Matt. Let's get back to rebuking all of us together. Okay, let's go to the next one. So they still did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight. This is the one about secondhand. Because watch what happens with his parents, okay? They sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see? Okay, we know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age, so he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. Okay? A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. Perhaps they even threw in a little Jesus note there. The truth will set you free. Okay? So give glory to God by telling the truth. We know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And then they asked, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? So that's where we're going to stop right now. Again, shallow faith is secondhand. That's why when put to the test, the parents, they didn't receive sight. They're very close to the situation. Very close. Some of you walked through fire with me when my daughter and my son was born, okay? And I'm sure that meant a lot to you, and I'm glad you did it because I couldn't have made it without you. But that can't just be the end of your story of how God works, because for these parents, it was their own son, and he received sight, and yet when their faith was put to the test, they cowered away, because it can only produce a shallow faith if it's not personal. When it's personal, you become this guy that's standing in front of these religious leaders who have so much power in that day. They had so much sway over their people. And they say, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I was blind and now I see. Deal with it. Okay? That's the truth. You're just going to have to deal with it. Find some room in your legalism for this kind of stuff to happen because it's real. Okay? The other thing I'm going to tell you about here is that notice that he didn't argue on their level. He kept it what he knew. He doesn't know the religious stuff. This is important for you to understand when you bear your testimony to somebody and you think it can't be effective because they're too skeptical. Okay? Have a little confidence in humanity that our hearts, whether we're saved or not, tend to be moved by the same stories of redemption. Because I really believe that deep down inside, no matter how skeptical you are, we all want that to be true. That there is hope for me to be redeemed because I know deep down inside I'm really not worth much. And yet the God of the universe thinks I am. So have some trust in that a bit and share your testimony boldly, which is the next one. Let me say this as a litmus test for this one. Maybe this is a way to find out. Do you tell others, or like, let's say you come on a Sunday morning and you really feel like you got something out of it. Do you explain it like, Matt's message meant a lot to me this morning? Or do you walk away telling God, thank you for speaking to me? I don't know who Matt was speaking to, but you were speaking to me. Okay, that's the kind of a little subtle litmus test that when you walk away being fed after a Sunday morning, was that a connection between me and you? I know it was obviously a connection with the Bible, but do you really see that as God ordained me to be here this morning? Like, I have such a trust that this was an ordained time. It's just another piece of evidence for me that God is real. Okay, because deep faith is going to cause you to think about it like that. Okay, now let's get to the next one here. He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Again, he's saying, I was blind, mud's put on my eyes, now I see. Do you want to become his disciples too? And then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. Okay, we know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And I love how this guy responds. He's had enough and he's about to be bold. The man answered, now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And when you're faced with somebody who seems to know more about, I guess, as an unbeliever, about how God works, take confidence that you actually know him and they don't. You probably have a better idea, even those of you who are baby Christians, you have a better idea about how God works than people who are not yet saved. Okay, all they've got is what they've heard from Bill Maher or something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was watching a little clip last night. It was English guy who took over for Larry King, Piers Morgan, right? And he had on Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller. I've shown a clip before. Penn Jillette's a big atheist and stuff, I guess. And he was basically, now Piers is a Roman Catholic. But he was basically teaching Piers about how God works. Like, and he actually was making a pretty good argument. And I would have, Penn's one of those intellectual guys. We can't let the unbelieving world tell us how God works. We can't let them put him in a box for us. And we can't try to fit our explanation of what God has done for us inside of their box, as this is what my skepticism will allow. When you tell about God, let him be as miraculous as he really is in your life. Okay? Talk about it like, I have no idea how this works. But when I found God, I found whatever was missing in my life. I can't explain it any better than that. And I'm sorry, but it was like the light bulb went on. My eyes were opened. And now I see who I really am in the light of my Creator. And don't be scared of that kind of language. Whatever language fits you and sounds authentic from you, don't be scared of that. Present God not the way that might seem palatable for them, but the way that you understand God. Because you understand God on some level. Even those who are baby Christians, you understand God on some level. An unbelieving world doesn't understand him at all. They only get what's on TV. Okay? All right. So shallow faith is timid. But deep faith produces boldness. And my last point there is that we don't argue philosophy. We argue faith. By the way, we don't argue for God with philosophical evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. They've got all the physical evidence they need. The unbelieving world. What you need to be arguing is something that is unseen. Something that they cannot judge. You know what I'm saying? So if I were to have a discussion. Who likes to play devil's advocate at all? Okay. So Pamela likes to play devil's advocate. Now, Pamela's a believer, so it'd be hard for her to, you know, but if I were to come to her and she's going to play the part of an unbeliever and I say, the reason I know that God exists is because this book, there's not one mistake in it. Would you, play devil's advocate and combat that with a fact.
Well, then how do you explain Genesis 1?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, except that I can't do this, you're right.
No, you're good. I mean, everybody forgive Pamela. She's going to be the devil's advocate right now, okay? She's going to have a retort for this, but...
The earth was empty without form.
Yeah.
So how...
Yeah, the earth is a physical earth. How can it be with no form?
Exactly.
It's round. It's a ball. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Right, I mean, it's a perfect argument because I'm trying to argue science and what I consider creation versus, you know, this heathen who believes in evolution and things like this, which, you know, who knows, right? And I'm completely out of my league because Pamela has shown me time and time again she's smarter than me, okay? If I come to Pamela and tell her that, you know, in the worst time of my life when I thought my daughter was going to die and maybe my wife along with it, we had one last chance, and as she was led out, and we were waiting for the doctor to come back and tell us if we had this one last chance, this peace invaded my life, and I knew before anything ever happened, they were going to come in 5 minutes later, and they were going to tell us, we don't know how, but the whole white blood cell count of your wife's infection is completely gone. We're rushing her into surgery right now. This is happening right now. And I just got overwhelmed with this. I hung my head in shame because I thought it was my own wishful thinking. But it just kept pounding away in my head. And then that's exactly what happened. Now, I tell that to you. What is your retort? Don't have one, okay? You don't have one because you weren't there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to argue philosophy. I'm going to argue about something that she wasn't there. That might seem not fair, but that's my argument. Okay? I mean, that's real. You can't argue with that because that's what happened to me. Okay? So don't argue out of your league. Don't make God a philosophy. Don't make him science. He's faith. He's spirit. He's unseen. He's invisible. He's powerful. He moves. Okay? That's what we argue. And that's where faith needs to be argued from. Okay? Now, final point. Let's look at the final 2 points. Let's look at how this... And so to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. And Jesus heard they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment, I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what are we blind to? Okay, now, this is where I want to start with this, is that shallow faith begins in the church and deep faith begins with teaching. Now, what I mean by that is this. If your faith is based on the fact that you are a part of this church, not just a member of this church, but you come every Sunday, you feel something during the worship service, but it's you came and you've got this, we talked about this horizontal relationship before. Your relationship with God is horizontal in the fact that it's with his people. Your connection to me, to the person next to you, to your life group, whatever is so strong, you know that you're a community. We're centered around God, but really that your faith is really based on the community that you're part of. Okay? And as much as I want to say that you can't be a good Christian without being part of a church, I will say that a deep faith, while it can be enhanced by the church, has to start with teaching, proper teaching. Because we got to build our faith on things that are immovable. People will fail you, but God's word will not. Whether it's me teaching, somebody online, you learning from a Bible study, your faith needs to be based on teaching from this book and not from the relationships that you have everywhere else. And so what happens with this guy, if I can go back there, Dave, to that passage for a second. You have this guy who has this experience. And then Jesus teaches him. He says, tell me so that I may believe in him. And he teaches him that you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And that is, he is even before all that, he thought Jesus was a prophet. And then Jesus starts telling him about this. And he says this line that he knows will catch his attention. Do you believe in the Son of Man? which is something that he had read from birth, didn't know who he was, and he teaches him that I'm the fulfillment of that prophecy. Okay? Now, I know it's just a little bit of teaching, but that's what I'm saying is his faith wasn't just based on a miracle, wasn't just based on the group, the religious affiliation he had. He was taught that Jesus really was who he said he was. Okay, so it's based on teaching. Finally, let's read this last verse. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. He's talking to the Pharisees, who he had just said all of this stuff to. And if you go back and look at that again, yeah, I'm going to read it from my version here. Some of the Pharisees, this is how it reads. After he's told this man this, some of the Pharisees were standing nearby, heard him and asked, are you saying we are blind? What are the Pharisees doing there? See, what we find is, if we go back to John chapter 8, which is what we read last week, we find in verse 30, it says, even as he spoke, Jesus, this is after, you know, he's ticked off some Pharisees, you know, woman caught in adultery, he's ticked them off. And even as he spoke, many believe in him. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here he has another confrontation with these Pharisees, and away they go, and he's with this man. And now it says some of the Pharisees who are with him. And I know from reading the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that that was kind of the first little spot where we see even some of these religious leaders are coming around. And we find that these religious leaders are hanging around Jesus to try to learn more. And these are the people he's talking to. And I guess my last point is simply this, that shallow faith is blind. Okay, they ask, are we blind? Shallow faith is blind. Deep faith keeps perspective. Here's what I mean by that. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We can't see it. You may think that means blind. No, it means we have a different perspective of how God works. Shallow faith is blind. You can call it religion if you want. Religion is blind. It is so wrapped up in itself and things that we do to please God that it misses the actual message that Jesus taught. That's where most of us find our problems, by the way, is the church backgrounds we grew up in or just our home backgrounds. We get taught a performance gospel, and so we're blind when shown the truth gospel. It's like we're blind to see it. Okay? Now, you've heard that faith is the evidence of things not seen. That doesn't mean faith is blind. It means that faith has a different perspective. It doesn't mean that now you understand all things. It means that you understand one thing, that God operates differently than the world tells us he operates. Okay? So when we have faith in God, I don't believe I have a blind faith. Because blind seems to suggest that I can never understand what I'm talking about. Rather, what I really believe is that I have a faith that is not dependent upon me always having evidence, physical evidence for God in my life. My faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. I can't explain my faith. Jenny was in my life group the other night, and she was talking about how faith is her spiritual gift. We were talking about doubts that we had, and that's one of those things she doesn't struggle with, even when confronted with stuff that she cannot explain. It's a gift that she's been given. My faith does not need explanation for me anymore. I believe my faith could be explained, but I'm trying to learn as a Christian not to go there because it's such a crutch. That's when my faith becomes weak. My faith is based on some kind of X factor that the world and science could never explain. My faith is based on my personal experience with God. My faith is based on teaching from his word. And if that's not enough to satisfy the answers of an unbelieving world, then I say my faith is not blind. I just obviously have a different perspective than them. Okay? Don't let anybody rob your faith by telling you that your faith needs proof. The proof is you. You believe it. That's what faith is the evidence means. You believe it. That's the proof. Because we're not dumb people. We've been convinced somehow in our heart by a spirit that is outside of our knowledge by God's Spirit confirming with us this is truth. And that's where real faith lies, okay, versus shallow faith.
I hope you've enjoyed listening to the Lakeside Podcast. If you have any questions at all about the message, if you have any struggles you're going through, or if you simply want to respond to what you've heard, we'd love to hear from you. Go to our website at lakesidelife.org and click on the contact page to let us know what's on your heart. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you next time.